Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we come once again grateful for this privilege and opportunity of worship, because you are indeed worthy of our worship. You blessed us. You brought us. You kept us. You strengthened us when we were weak. You picked us up when we were down. And for that, God, we say thank you. Now, Lord, bless now the remainder of this service. These are your people. This is your word. I'm your preacher. Bless the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart. Let it be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's in Christ's name I do pray. Amen. Certainly thankful to God for this preaching privilege, to these my cleric colleagues who joined me on the rostrum as well as in the pew, to the officers, members, visitors, and friends. Grace and peace be unto you all from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to hold you long, but I want to call your attention to the passage of Scripture read earlier from the book of Habakkuk, the second chapter, verses 1 through 4. Small book sandwiched between Nahum and Zephaniah, on just three small chapters. But in the second chapter, verses 1 through 4, you will find these words. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up in him is not upright, but the just shall live by his faith. The word of God for the people of God. For just a few minutes, I want to talk from this subject, an appointed time. An appointed time. Thank you, ushers. Brothers and sisters, the lesson that has often been taught in the African-American faith community is that we ought to never question God. It is one, though not shared by this prophet. And in his own way, in the first chapter, he calls God into account for allowing the wicked to run amok, the unrighteous to rule, and to do so without any apparent repercussions. Habakkuk may not have written much, just three chapters, but he had a whole lot to say. Am I right about it? This prophet did not close his eyes and pray. He prayed with his eyes wide open. Open to the sin of his people. Open to the political corruption. Open to the hurts of God's children. And open to their despair. Because he wrestled with the wickedness of his day. He wanted to know where his God was. And why was it that God seemed to be doing nothing? He had been praying and calling on God. And he'd been calling God's attention to the plight of his people, who were suffering because of unjust and unrighteous leaders. But to his dismay, nothing happened. Nothing changed. And people went on doing wrong. An appointed time. But before that time arrives, sometimes we will feel like Habakkuk. What is God doing? Why is it taking so long? Does God really care? Then why don't I see any changes? You may be wondering, were the elders right when they said he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time? Habakkuk wanted to know where God was. Have you ever felt that way? Your enemies and those who hate you for no reason are doing well, being blessed, prospering on every hand. And you are doing the best that you can, but nothing seems to be happening for you. They appear to be collecting blessings in bucketfuls, and you are serving faithfully, going when you don't feel like going, and doing when you don't feel like doing. Giving faithfully, faithfully paying tithes and giving your offering, praying faithfully, seeking the Lord diligently, but you don't see anything happening on your behalf, and you don't hear anything from the Lord. Sisters and brothers, that is because there is an appointed time. Just wait on God. He knows what he is doing. Do I have a witness in here? While you're waiting, it is times like these that test our faith, try our resolve, and show what we are really made of. Unlike appointments we make on earth, appointed times with God can be frustrating because we don't know when. We don't know how, and we don't know where that time will come or be. Waiting is one thing when it comes to an appointed time. But the other side of the coin is this. When we think in terms of God's plans, God's purposes, God's will, and God's divine intention for his children, we typically attach to it positive and preferable events or activities. Do I have a witness here? We hardly ever think about an appointed time with pain, with hardship, with difficulties, with disappointments, with rainy days, with stormy nights, with tough times, or with a moment when we just can't see our way. Am I right about it? But sisters and brothers, God wants you to know, anybody that he has ever used had to face difficulties, had to face some hardships, had an appointment or two with trouble, and had to go through some things. Am I right about it? If God is going to use you, he'll have to bruise you. Oh, y'all don't hear me. If God is going to bless you, God is going to test you. Am I right about it? Because he wants to know that you're worthy of the blessing. An appointed time. But there is good news. The late songwriter James Cleveland was right when he wrote, "When God gets through with me, I shall come forth as pure gold." When it comes to God's appointed time for you, it does not matter where you are. God wants you to know he has not lost track of you. You've been praying, you've been waiting, you've been hoping, and it seemed like nothing is happening for you. but God knows where you are. Am I right about it? You've been beat down, knocked down, put down, run down. But I want you to know God knows where you are. And he will pick you up in time. You thought you had a shoulda, you should have had it by now. Should have attained it by now. Should have gotten it by now. Should have done it by now. Should have accomplished it by now. Should have finished it by now. But you're still waiting. Still looking. Still hoping. But I want you to know the Lord knows where you are. Am I right about it? I know sometimes you feel like God has lost you and you've lost God. But he knows where you are. In this light, we can experience many types of appointed times. But no matter what time it is, we must always remember that God is still in control. Am I right about it? Sometimes God's children are some of the most, we are some of the most impatient people in the world. We think we can pray and get God to do what we want, where we want, when we want, how we want. Am I right about it? But when it comes to an appointed time, you've got to wait on the Lord. Is that right? Brothers and sisters, the quickest way to get in trouble with God is to get ahead of God. Maybe I ought to say that again. The quickest way to get in trouble with God is to get ahead of God. The quickest way to get out of sync with God is to move before your appointed time, your blessed season, or your harvest time. We have got to trust in the Lord, keep on doing what we're doing, and wait. Will you trust him? When it comes to our appointed time, perhaps we should remember the words of the old gospel tune. You can't hurry God. You just have to wait. You have to trust him and give him your time. No matter how long he takes. He's a God you can't hurry. He'll be there. Don't you worry. You can't hurry God. You just have to wait. You've got to wait on the Lord. And the psalmist said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Isaiah said, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Won't he do it? Won't he give you strength when you're weak? Won't he pick you up when you're down? My brothers and sisters, Habakkuk talked to God because he wanted to know. If anybody knows, God knows. If anybody has an answer, God has an answer. If anybody can help, God can help. If anybody can understand, God can understand. If anybody can give you a word that will soothe your doubts and calm your fears, God can. Sisters and brothers, Habakkuk makes it all right to ask God questions. And because he asked God questions, he learned three things. First, God does listen. When you don't hear anything from the Lord, it's because he's listening. He's listening for the cry of the weak. He's listening for the prayers of his children. He's listening. When he does listen, he listens in the midnight hour. When no one else is around, he listens to us when others have turned a deaf ear. He listens when nothing seems to be going our way. God is always listening. Do I have a witness in here? That's why the elders used to sing, King Jesus is a listening when you pray. King Jesus is a listening when you pray, waiting to hear you, comfort and cheer you. King Jesus is a listening when you pray. So sisters and brothers, keep on waiting and keep on praying. Secondly, he learned because he asked questions
that God watches. Am I right about it? He sees the just and the unjust. He sees the righteous and the unrighteous. And the word says the eye of the Lord is in every place, beholding good and evil. God keeps a record. He keeps the score. And Job said, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. That's why Paul wrote, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God was trying to let Habakkuk and us know, don't worry about the wicked. If they don't pay now, they'll pay later. Am I right about it? Finally, God will answer our prayers. But he has an appointed time. He will move. But he has an appointed time. He will respond. But he has an appointed time. He will make a way. But he has an appointed time. And as the elders say, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. Do I have a witness in here? Unlike Habakkuk, we have to trust God's timing. No matter how hard you work or how much you pray, you can't change God's appointed time. Why, you may ask, is there an appointed time? Because God wants you and me to know that he has more to do with him than it has to do with us. You can pray and fast all you want, but it's not about you or me. It's about God. Most of us wish we could determine when certain things happen, take place or occur, our own appointed time. If that were the case, grade school would last a year. College would last 2 weeks. We would retire in 2 months. And we would live on earth forever. But I stop by here to tell you that time is in the hand of the Lord. And we've got to learn to trust him. Is that right? All of us can be frustrated when some things do not go off as we want them to, or when we want to. But that is the nature of faith. We are not moved by what we see, but by what we believe. Pastor, how long was it between your first pastorate and your second pastorate? It was over 15 years. And I believe that God had called me to pastor. I did everything I could. I called on the name of the Lord. I named it and claimed it. I walked around vacant churches 7 times in the name of the Lord. And nothing happened. I went to school full time. Got a bachelor's and master's degree in 5 years, and nothing happened. I went to churches in Tipton, Georgia, Thompson, Georgia, St. Petersburg, Florida. I went to Newburgh, Poughkeepsie, Mount Vernon, and Buffalo, New York twice, and nothing happened. I covered the state from Beaufort on the east to Shelby in the west, and points in between, but nothing happened. My motto was, have Bible, will travel. But it was not time. Sisters and brothers, I believe sometimes our appointed time does not come, because God has some things to get out of us as well as some things to put in us. Do I have a witness here? Because if you are going to serve the Lord, You need some patience. And in order to get some patience, you gotta learn how to wait. Ain't the Lord all right? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I don't know about you, but like Habakkuk, I wondered where God was and what God was doing, whether God was going to do anything while I was calling on his name. Have you ever been there? Habakkuk looked out and saw corruption, saw greed and injustice, saw violence, and it made him pray. It was apparent that he prayed often and he prayed for a long time, but to his amazement, nothing seemed to happen. Because he prayed, God did not move. He did not intercede. He did not deliver. He did not overthrow. He did not bring down those perpetrating witnesses. God did not do that. But he did do something. He sent a word, write the vision, and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that read of it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come to pass. Behold, his soul in him is lifted up, but the just shall live by faith. God tells Habakkuk three things: write the vision and make it plain. In other words, write it down. Some folks are convinced that it's not spiritual to write it down. But I'm so glad somebody wrote it down. Do I have a witness here? Thank you, Lord. If you don't write it down, nobody can read the vision. If you don't write it down, nobody will run with the vision. If you don't write it down, nobody will know the vision. If you don't write it down, nobody will remember the vision. If you don't write it down, the vision might not come to pass. For those who can't see it, if nobody else will, you read it. Read what the Lord said. Read his promises. Read his word. Read it in the morning. Read it in the noonday. Read it in the evening. And read it when the sun goes down. Because he always fulfills his promise. Secondly, wait on the Lord. No matter how difficult it gets, keep waiting. No matter how long it takes, keep waiting. No matter how bad it looks, keep waiting. Because the psalmist was right. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Sisters and brothers, I don't care how bad things look right now. Morning is coming. It might be tough right now, but morning is coming. It might be dark right now, but the light of day is coming. It might be raining right now, but the sun will shine. You may not be able to see your way, but God will make a way somehow. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Thank you, Lord. Finally, live by faith, because your appointed time will come. God wants you to know it's coming, and you can be sure It might not be next week. It might not be next month. It might not be next year. But it's coming. Just keep walking by faith and not by sight. Do I have a witness here? I believe I do. Joseph would tell us that God had an appointed time, and he would tell us he had an appointment with a pit and a prison before his appointed time in the palace. Job would tell us, y'all don't hear me, that God had an appointed time, an appointment for him with poverty, an appointment with grief, an appointment with sickness, an appointment with separation. He had an appointed time, but when God sent it, he gave him double of what he lost. Do I have a witness? And surely Jesus would tell us that God had an appointed time with him in a manger in Bethlehem. He had an appointed time with opposition, obstacles, and enemies. He had an appointed time with a cross on Calvary. He had an appointed time with a borrowed tomb. But I'm so glad he had an appointment early Sunday morning. He got up with all power, all power, all power in his hand. Ain't the Lord all right? Say yeah, say yeah, say yeah.
Thank you. I've held you too long, but I'm reminded of a story about two young brothers. They were out playing in the streets, and the way it got dark, and the older brother said to the younger brother, come on, we're going home now. While they were on their way home, the older brother said, we're going to take a shortcut. And he told his younger brother that the shortcut was through a dark tunnel. And he said, you might be afraid, but what I want you to do is hold on to my coattail. They started going through the tunnel, and the older brother got scared. So he started walking pretty fast. Before long, he started running. While he was running scared, he heard his younger brother behind him laughing. When he got to the other side of the tunnel, he asked his younger brother, why was it that you were laughing? And why was it that I was afraid and you weren't? The younger brother said, I just did what you told me. I held on to your coattail. He said, it wasn't my job to get us out the tunnel. That was your job. My job was to hold on to your coattail, and you would pull me through. Ain't the Lord all right? That's what I want to leave you with. No matter how rough life looks, no matter how dark life appears, you've got an elder brother who is able to pull you through. Make it plain. Wait on it. Live by faith until your appointed time comes.